We have had a lot of loving during the time of the day and a half, I would say, or day, since we started the convention here. And I really enjoyed the agape love discourse. So we're going to give you a little more of love. I don't think we can get enough of love. At least I can't. And I think you will also agree with me that we are loved children. God loves us, and we love Him. Matter of fact, that's why we are here, because we love the brethren. We come from far and near to be able to fellowship with those with like faith. I find it a very privilege and a joy to be in the presence of those that have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of truth, to be called the children of God, which we all are. All of us who have made a consecrated to be part of the little flock, giving up all of our earthly interests to be part of the little flock, that we may be able to finish our course with love and kindness. I've been thinking about this discourse for quite some time, and it's kind of a love affair with me. I feel that if I do not love, then what do I have to offer? How can I please my Heavenly Father? But one of the things we all understand, that God is love. And He asked us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we ought to love Him also. But then I came across some scriptures that says the love and kindness of God. And not trying to define that, I refer to the Old Testament. And I will be reading quite a bit of the Old Testament, trying to get a feeling, the love and kindness that God has for His people and He had for His chosen people, Israel. God spoke to Israel through Jeremiah about what He intended to do for them. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Our God shows loving kindness to those for 1,000 years. Those that love Him. Jeremiah 32:18. The gift of His Holy Spirit is a way that He shows us and reveals to us the depth of His thoughts. Some may say the deeper thoughts. But I like to think along the lines that without His Spirit, we are not able to see the full meaning of His thought, because we know the whole world of mankind study the scriptures, and we might say, and it may be correct, and maybe not, and never come into a full knowledge of the truth. And this is what we're all about. We study with the hope and understanding that we have a full knowledge of the truth. Our God chose loving kindness to those that love Him and trust Him. The gift of His Holy Spirit is the true way that we can say that we are able to comprehend what He's saying. I remember when I first came into the truth, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. although I believe. But I don't believe the Holy Spirit comes just from your first introduction to the truth. I was reading what Brother Russell had written, many of his books. Now I listened to Frank and Ernest on the radio. Also listened to my wife. But I didn't understand what, you know, surely they understood what they were saying. But it took more than just listening and reading to get the full perception of what was it meant to be a son of God. For man has not seen or heard what God has in store for those that love him. You know, God created man in his image and in his likeness. This is love and kindness. One of the things that I discovered also about love and kindness is that the more kind you are, the more hated that you may receive from the person whom you love. You know, this can be demonstrated because God loved the whole world. He didn't say that he just loved the Bible students. But it is this love and kindness that he shows to those of his own choosing. He chose us to be a part of the little flock, to run in the race. And if we are faithful, we will receive a reward. God instructed us that we should love him. Not that we do not love him, but to trust in him. To put everything, all of our faith in him. God cannot force us to love him. He never forced anyone to love him. This is voluntarily. And I don't think we would want anyone to be forced to love us as we chose our mate. In most of us who have been married for years, we didn't force our bride to be, to love us. But it was a voluntary thing. We voluntarily love them. They in turn voluntarily love us. You know, God is so loving. And if we love him, we will have no like for want, for any good thing. Psalm 34:10. You know, this is a wonderful thing that most human being has wants. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need. What I'm saying is we want. And if we know what we want, then it's difficult sometimes to follow Jesus Christ in his footsteps. If you're falling behind someone and they are leading you, you have to trust them. You have to trust them with all you have. And this can be demonstrated in many of the civil activities that we have today, even in the military. We trust, even when we get on the plane. None of us is able to go to the pilot and says, "I'll take over and you go back and take my seat." We trust that he'll land the plane safely and that we'll be on our journey when we land. God blessed Adam and his wife and said to them, "Be faithful and increase in the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and sea and birds and the air and over every living creature that moveth on the ground." Genesis 1:28. What a wonderful father. Even after Adam transgressed, God still loved the creature that he created in his image. You know, once they transgressed, God showed his loving kindness by covering their nakedness with animal skin to hide their sinful conditions, because God cannot stand sin. Even us, when we are not covered with the robe of Christ, God cannot stand in our presence, or we cannot stand in his presence. We have to have the robe of righteousness in order to be able to be accepted by our God and Creator. You know, to be created in God's likeness is something that we can't sometimes fully understand. His image and his likeness. You know, you might say, what does that mean? Well, are we created in God's image and likeness? Or we are going to be created in his image and likeness? I would like to think that this is what we're aspiring to be like our Lord and Master, be in his very exact image. That is love and kind. And this love and kind is more than it says sometime in the scripture. It means that you give something to someone because you feel something within you, which is this love that you would bestow upon them. I remember very well many acts of kindness that have been given to me. It is more than love. I know my wife loved me, but when she do something special for me, that kind act, that to me is special. And this is what God does to us who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light of truth and been approved and accepted to be his children, that we can call him Father. You know, Jesus made it clear. If you're not doing the will of your Father, and you are my friend, and you said my Father is your Father, a lot of the nominal peoples, they would say, well, we serve the same God. But Jesus made it clear. You can't serve the same God and not carrying out his duties. And his duty is loving him. And the Jews find out that their God was the devil. And if you're a liar, a cheater, etc., you cannot say that your Father is my Father. After the first act of transgression, man continued to create evil in his heart and mind. Genesis 6:7. However, God did not destroy him or let him destroy himself completely. Man will try to commit suicide if left alone. We can see this in his action, in his dealing with others and self, and his given kingdom. He have tried many times to pollute the earth. The first time God decided that it would be better to destroy him from the face of the earth. Even now, we're living in a polluted earth, in an environment. Man still do not understand why he is fully here upon the earth. But we, as the faithful little ones, we understand. It is given to us to understand. Man tries to destroy the earth through many of his actions. And not only that, he teaches that the earth will be destroyed. I remember before I came into the truth, I was taught that the earth will be destroyed because when they studied the scriptures, and I was a Baptist, quote, because of my mother, not because of my heart or my understanding. But even though as a child, they do teach you. And I was fear that the earth was going to be destroyed and I was going to go to hell and burn forever and ever and forever. And that kept me with constant fear. Constant fear. You know, one of the ways that the normal system throughout the dark ages and even today to keep people in line is to teach them fear. You're going to burn. Or they give them a false hope. You're going to die and go straight to heaven. All of those are false hopes. We do not worry about this because we know the earth abides forever. Ecclesiastes 1:4. And God also is going to restore the earth back to its former condition. A paradise, laws of paradise will be restored for mankind. We shall love God as he loved us, even in our fallen condition. And we shall show fear of him who can destroy our body and soul We do not have fear of him if we have perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. It is better to fear God than to do wrong and have no fear. Now, he taught the Israelite to fear him. And the same teaching is also taught for us. But we understand that this fear disappears when we have perfect love for our Heavenly Father and all of those that he loves. And if we don't have that, it reminds me as a child. My father would tell me to do something, and I didn't have any fear of him. But if I didn't do what he told me to do, I would fear him because I know that he was going to find out that I hadn't done what he told me to do. And this is the same analogy, that if we do everything that God tells us to do, we have no conscience between man and God, then we have reverence. We have reverence because we have nothing to fear. Brethren, we are like no other creation, nor will there be another like us after the full number of the saints have been completed. Let us rejoice, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Isaiah 26:12. A reading from the NIV. Our love is made perfect so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. From this we know that we have been anointed by his Holy Spirit. Therefore are sons of God, and he is our Father. We know Satan have a hand in man's action because he wants to destroy what God created and change it to his desires and evil ways. However, man is permitted to follow the God of this present evil world to learn that he cannot give him peace or everlasting life. John 10:28 and 14:29. Why was God grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain? We can somewhat understand this because of God's character. What is love? And God is love. Genesis 6:6, we can give many answers. I have one, you may have another, but the word of God would be the correct one. Adam was a son created in the image of God and his likeness. Therefore, the father wanted his son to remain like him. Now, in Luke 3:38 tells us that Adam was a son of God. Now, Abraham was not a son of God. You know, but it's until we come to the time and place that was after Pentecost, and the apostle instructed us that we are sons of God. Why are we sons of God? Anyone know? Anyone can give me a quick answer of why we are sons of God? Why we are called sons of God or children of God? We have one answer. We are begotten of God. By the adoption, we had another one. We're looking for one more. Yes. Also, we have his spirit. You remember the scripture that says in Romans 8:9, if we don't have the spirit of Christ in us, we do not belong to him. Isn't that true? So with this spirit in us, we have been begotten by the Holy Spirit to be the sons of God. And this is very important. I remember in the Los Angeles pre-memorial convention, they had a panel discussing the Holy Spirit. I almost was prompted to give a talk on the Holy Spirit. But providential overruling, I decided to stick with what I had. But it is very important that we understand that in order for us to be true sons of God, as Jesus was the true son of a true son of God, we must have something in us that is from God. And that is His Spirit. And that is the power and influence in us. And you recognize that. The old father do not have time to produce a kingdom. The young father, I mean, do not have time to produce a kingdom and have it prepared for his son as God did his son. When Adam was created, everything was created for him. And all Adam had to do is just walk in and take over and rule it as he was instructed. But the younger son has to grow up and approve himself before he can receive his inheritance. We must also do our share to receive our inheritance. And this is one of the great things that brings us together and brings us many times to study when we perhaps prefer to do something different. We must study to show ourselves approved because we are looking for an inheritance. If we are Abraham's seeds, then we are heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to them that love him. James 1:12. If God loves us, should we love him? In the Old Testament, he instructed his peoples to love him. I will read what God said in Exodus 26. God extend his love to them that love him and keep his commandment. This is the requirement to show that we love God by keeping his commandment. He spoke to Israel saying, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Well, we ask the question, did Adam do that? The answer is no. Yes, Adam loved his wife more than he did his creator. You know, I don't find where God told Adam to love him, but we know from what I just read that from that day onward, or forward, God requires his creatures to love him. And he teaches us to love him. Only he can teach us to love. And we know that Jesus Christ also said the same thing. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And this is the proof that we love someone. If we don't do what they say, it means that we don't care enough, and surely we don't love them. God cannot be satisfied with the Israelites at that time worshiping any other god or things. Why? Because God is a jealous God. Exodus 25. God gave us an example to see how he loved Israel and Judah and how they hated him. We will read again from Jeremiah 3:6-17. You can follow along with me if you wish. Has thy seen that which backsliding Israel had done. She has gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all of these things, turn thy unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and gave her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart, but frankly said the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north, and say, return, thy backsliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Turn, backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. And I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind. Neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nation shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. This is just showing that God is very loving. After all that he had did for the children of Israel, led them out of Egypt, no one was left behind. No one was lost crossing the Red Sea. It just makes my heart just overflow with love when I understand what a loving God this is. It shows clearly that God is merciful. Even after all they had did, God stated by his Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul that all of Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26. Romans 11:26. The good news is man will learn that God is loving and kind and will keep his teaching. He will also learn that all things originated by the Father and will be completed in his Son, Jesus Christ. I would like to read a paragraph what Pastor Russell wrote about the goodness and severity of God. And I quote, while the goodness of God is not seen in his severity, yet they stand side by side. Although wholly separate, God's goodness, his generosity, his mercy, his kindness, His love is not manifested in the sentence pronounced upon the humanity, but in the great gift of his love, our Lord Jesus Christ, and redemption provided in him. A redemption coextensive with the fall of man and the condemnation incurred by our first parents. The apostle expressed the thought in words, and I'll quote again from the apostle. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. God's love was not previously manifested for more than 4,000 years. Only the severity, the justice of the divine character was seen. Although to Abraham and subsequently through the prophets of Israel, a hint was given that God's kindly sentiment towards the fallen race, which in due time will bring to all the families of the earth. And this is found in reprint 6138. Reprint 6138. End of quote. We know all of the families of the earth will be given a chance for everlasting life, which has been promised by God, which will be a blessing for all who ever live. We understand God do not force us to love him. However, he teaches us to love him by loving us. What a good way to teach someone to love. You know, we can pause here and say, why are we told to love our enemies? Why are we told to love those that hate us? Why are we told to turn the other cheek? Why we are told to bless those that persecute us? That is because we are doing precisely what our Heavenly Father and our dear Redeemer did. You can think that anyone would have a cause to go against humanity, especially man, would be the one that created him, especially after man have done so much evil against himself and against the God that created him. The Lord showed loving kindness to those who put trust in him. Psalm 92:2. And this is the trust that we have to put total trust in him. You know, a lot of time we find that we are told to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're following someone, you do not suppose to be, or you shouldn't be, in front of them. But sometimes we find that we want something, we go out in the front. It's like little children when we tell them to follow behind us, and all of a sudden they dash out in front of us, and we reach out with our hand and yank them back. Get back behind me, because it's danger out there. Could be a car coming. So the same thing happened to us. We should keep in mind that we are to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And that takes more sometime than we fully understand. Because we pray that I want this, I want that. The worst thing that I find in my life, and I am convinced that it's similar to all human beings, is that to want. We have needs, yes. I told one brother this once. I says, I don't want. Once I found the truth, I found everything. Well, I wanted the truth, so I found it. So what else for me to want? I wanted God, and I found it him. And the scripture tells us we are rich. We have everything. So what do we still want? We'll leave that for each one of us to answer. To love is to be hated until the one you love have his eyes and ears open. And this happened to the Apostle Paul, as we all know. He hated the early church. But when his eyes and ears was open, I'm pretty sure he wept. And the same thing happened to us. Once we become fully consecrated and understand our previous condition, that we was enemies of God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And when we had our full understanding, we repented. We can say that we wept, that we understand the love and kindness of our living God and what we had did to him, not only to him, against that image and likeness which he created. We misuse our bodies in many ways. I remember a friend of mine, I was working, he enjoyed smoking cigars. And I did not like to be around anyone that smoked. And I said, dear friend, you know, if God wanted you to have a smokestack, he would have built it in. Why are you smoke so much? He said, well, I like it. You see, here again, he said, I want it. And that was the problem with him. It's a problem not with him. It's just a typical problem with many of us. When I departed the terminal yesterday here in Seattle, and we walked outside, the first thing I got a whiff of was cigarette smoke. And I'm allergic to it. My voice disappeared. But they want to smoke. But yet and still they know the consequences that one can get from toxic fumes. And to be hated sometime is one of the worst things that can happen to anyone. But if you love and have the love which God wants us to have, we don't hate back. It's a joy in our hearts that we are being hated for righteousness. Not the joy that we do not want to be, say that, oh, you can hate me. Because if you did that, then you say, I want to be hated. And no, you do not want to be hated. You want to be loved. But you also desire to do right. And this righteousness is that causes us to be hated or persecuted. And anyone living a righteous life is going to suffer. The loving kindness of God is better than life. Our lips should always praise him. Psalm 63:3. God loved us as his children. When time was right, he called us out of death and darkness into the light of his only begotten son. If we love him and keep his teaching, we'll receive a crown of life and immortality. What a hope. Brethren, we have been freed from the Adamic death and transferred into his son, his dear son, who is our savior and salvation. We will continue to see how Jehovah loved his chosen people, Israel. We understand when Israel was in Egypt under slavery, they prayed to God for relief, and God sent Moses to lead them out of the land. Deuteronomy 3:10. The Israelis was covenant that they should obey the words of Moses. Exodus 19:5, 24, and 3. Under God's care, not one of them were left in Egypt or lost on the way out. What love and kindness the Father showed to his people in many battles in the desert and even being left alone and never being left alone. However, after he had given them leaders, judges, kings, and prophets, the children of Israel did not consider God their Lord nor showed any fear of him. We fear God again, I say, when we break his laws. And the Jews did a lot of law breaking. But nevertheless, they justify their ways by not showing any fear to one that has all power. The Israel had misused the holy name of Jehovah wherever they went. Ezekiel 36:22. Jehovah said, I will take you out of the nation. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will clean you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my peoples, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 36:24-28. What a beautiful promise that God gave to his people. And there's no reason that we can come up with to say why God is so loving and kind to someone that is so evil and hateful. It grieved God that he ever created man. But yet and still, even Jesus wept over Jerusalem. This love, brethren, is everything is hinged on love. God is love. And the whole world will learn to love. Love casts no shadows. There is no negative. It's all positive. That's a simple word to use, because those that know electrical or electronic, they know that you can't have a negative when you need a positive. It won't work. These promises will take place under the new covenant and for Israel. Romans 11:27. The little flock is the true witnesses today who bring good news of God's divine plan for all of mankind. God's name was misrepresented by Israel. He intended that his name would be honored and known among the nation, even though his wrath was upon them. What if God chosen to show his wrath and make his power known, bear with the great patience, the object of his wrath? Prepare for destruction. What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the object of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Romans 9:22-24. Some may say, Jehovah show his love in a strange way. For more than 6,000 years, man has been suffering the pain of death and sickness since the death of Adam. However, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Most all of the peoples in the world today that do not know the divine plan is still wondering what kind of God would permit all of these things, these calamities, to come upon mankind. Earthquakes, floods, and wars. But apparently they don't know the truth. Even at the time of 9/11, I was listening to some of the most experts in this country were brought together to give some type of reason why we were struck in 9/11 by terrorists. I didn't find that their answer was satisfactory. But we know the answer. God has permitted man to go to these calamities to teach man a lesson. As long as man keeps in his mind that I can and I can and I can and I shall do and will do, He will not turn to his God. He will not put full trust in his God. If you need an arm, he'll come up with some type of way of making an artificial limb for you. If you need a heart, he says, oh, I can give you a heart. He put an artificial heart in you. The only thing he haven't figured out yet is how to give us the artificial head. And they are thinking about putting a chip in that so they can control us from every angle or move. It's amazing. One of the things that I look at is that when I go to my physician, I get a physical each year. Usually I like to witness to all of those that is in high places because they are the one that makes the laws. And I tell him, one day you're going to be out of a job. And he said that he is a Christian. And he also have sympathy for the condition in the world. But the only difference from what he tells me and what I tell him, he doesn't know the divine plan. He doesn't know that God has a plan to rectify all of the things that has gone awry since the creation of man. I see the chairman is here. But I would like to close with just saying, I did not know God. You know, this is one of the things that bothered me very much before I came into truth. I heard people say that they knew God. And I tried to figure, how do you know God? Now, I saw in the scripture and listened to many tapes and read a lot of help. But I find that if Adam died, and then until you was enlightened, you were still dead in Adam. You couldn't have known God, you see. God knew you, but you didn't know him. And why? Because Satan had taken the place of God. He was ruling in our minds and hearts. When we say God, we're calling Satan God, you see. And this is what makes the difference. This is why Jesus said to the Jews, your father is the devil, a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But when we become fully consecrated and given up all that we possess and receive of his spirit, then only can we say that Jesus is the Son of God by having his spirit. The scripture clearly teaches you can't say that Jesus is the Son of God without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And this to me was the greatest revelation in my life when I found my Lord and Savior. And with assurance, as God is loving and kind, I went from house to house, friend to friend, mother and father, sister and brother. When you're in love, brethren, you're in love. You will tell everyone. People would read you and know that you're in love. When we witness, people know that whether we are witness from our heart, from love, or just want to just get them to be part of our little flock. They know that. They feel it. But if you're true, as Jesus Christ was true, they know what you're saying is coming from your heart. And you have no desire that they should do anything that the Heavenly Father do not want. As in Adam, all die. We were all under God's wrath, serving the flesh and the God of this present evil world, who opposed all that is true and good. At that time, we were, without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Brethren, we had no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:11 to 12. Ephesians 2:11 to 12. How could this be? Most number of Christians said they was looking for God and found him without realizing that they were being ruled by Satan. Before we were called by God, we all had our manner of life in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So we were all children of wrath. Ephesians 2, 3, 4. And when we witness to people, they would tell us we are serving the same God. Aren't we? Usually I don't say yes or don't say no. I leave that until I get an opportunity to say similar to what I'm saying now from scripture and ask them, do they understand the scripture from that standpoint? Most of the time, they might say yes. But then again, there are those that say that they have the Holy Spirit. No matter which way you turn, you'll find that they will say, well, I have that too. If you say, I have a bad back, they say, I have one also. But when we continue to witness to them and listen to them talk to us, we realize that what they are saying is so much different than what we are saying. They can't have their cookies and cake and eat it at the same time. We should be ever thankful to our Heavenly Father for calling us to be saints out of darkness into His marvelous light of His only begotten Son. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Our mind should be set on things where Christ is at the right hand of God. Not only things on the earth, which will pass away. Colossians 3, 1. We are looking when this walk will overcome death. This body will put on immortality, thereby obtaining our divine nature, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, sharing in His inheritance, blessing all the families of the earth. We should give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness endureth forever. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing.